Just some brief instructions. As usual, one of the important things to do in meditation is to actually try to understand one's mind better, to understand one's defilements, to understand the problems in the mind, so that we can direct the mind in the right way, to actually go deeper than you have gone before. So, as always, you start off the meditation by finding a certain sense of calm and peace. And once the mind is relatively calm and peaceful, you gain much more clarity about what is going on inside of you. You have some idea what is happening, and you start to be able to see the mind with more perspective and more clarity, which is very useful. And it's important to use that clarity and that perspective to understand especially the defilements of the mind, that you can take the meditation to even deeper stages in the future. So this is an important aspect of the path of meditation. This is something that's called vipassana practice, but really I would say that there is no such thing. You can't really divide vipassana and samatha, insight and calm. They're just two aspects of the same process. So what are we looking for? And what we're looking for, the most important of all the defilements, the biggest problem in meditation practice, is always ill will or upset or anger. This is the one that is going to block you more than anything else. So it's good to put a bit of focus on that. So when your mind becomes peaceful, you start to be able to, first of all, to understand the more subtle varieties of this defilement of ill will. And you start to be able to see things, see it in ways and depths that you haven't seen it before. So this is the first thing, actually being aware of it in its more subtle guises, if you like. And that, of course, is the first step in overcoming something, is to be able to even know it's there. Right? If you don't know it's there, you're not going to be able to overcome it. That's the first part. The second part, the second aspect of this kind of insight or understanding of the mind is to be able to understand why these things arise. What are the causes that lie behind? Why does ill will arise in the mind in the first place? And it's fairly simple, and it's laid out by the Buddha. The Buddha gives very clear explanations why these things arise. And you can say that, very generally speaking, is always focusing on the fault of something, focusing on a problem, focusing on something which is not pleasant, which is not nice. That is what gives rise, something which you feel a sense of repulsion towards. That is what gives rise, tends to give rise to ill will. That is a general aspect, but it's also very important to look at these things in more specifically. Generally speaking, that's great, but specifically, what are the problems that you have in your life? What are the things for you that give rise to these things? And you will see, as always, there are certain, perhaps, people or certain situations or certain things that tend to trigger these emotions in you. And when the mind becomes peaceful, you can start to see the causality at work, right? You focus on one thing, that leads to a certain defilement. And it's quite obvious how these things come about. It starts to become very clear. And once you start to see the thing that gives rise to these things, then of course you can do something about it, right? So if it is people who gives rise to these things, certain people, then you can start to focus on the good aspect of those people instead. And this is one of the, I think, very powerful pieces of advice given in the suttas, given by the Buddha, or this is in this case by Venerable Sariputta, that the idea of, you know, people are complex, they have many aspects to them, and if you develop looking at the good side in people, and in a place like this, in the Buddha society, there's a lot of goodness to be seen, right? There's so much virtue, so much kindness around. And just by developing that idea, remembering that, then when you come down to your meditation practice, as soon as you start to see the dangerous type of perception focusing on the negative side, you can shift your focus over to the good side, because it's so prominent, and it's so powerful, and it's so strong. It's easy to do. When there is a lot of goodness around you, it's not so hard to do that. So this is like one of those tricks that it's actually quite simple, right? Once you understand how this all works, it's quite simple. It's just a matter of persevering and doing it again and again until it really starts to bite in the meditation practice. And then sometimes there is an alternative technique also spoken of in the suttas. And this is where you find it hard to see anything good in a person. And then you use the idea of compassion instead. You say, you understand that somebody who doesn't have any good qualities, they are somebody who is moving towards suffering very, very rapidly in their life. And when you understand that somebody is creating suffering for themselves, that's what they're doing, right? If they have all these negative qualities, they're actually creating suffering for themselves. Wow, they must be deluded. Nobody wants to create suffering for themselves. It means they're treating themselves like an enemy. Basically, enemies want to create suffering for you. Now you're creating suffering for yourself. You're treating yourself like an enemy. Somebody who treats themselves like an enemy because they're deluded, because they don't understand, they are worthy of compassion, right? How can you not be compassionate towards somebody who does this kind of thing? They're just like a sick person, it says in the sutta. Somebody who is sick, who doesn't have any medicine, doesn't have any nurse, doesn't have anyone to look after them. They're just like in a desert all by themselves. And if you meet such a person, how would you feel? And you would give rise to compassion, because this person, there's nothing they can do. They're going to die. They're all by themselves. There's nothing they can do about it. And this is exactly the same thing you do with somebody with bad qualities. So please use this opportunity of meditation for these kind of insights, if you like. Understand yourself. What are your problems? And then you can take the meditation even deeper than you have in the past by understanding these issues. There's more than just ill will. There's other defilements as well, but ill will is, I think, by far the most important one. Okay, so let's try some meditation in practice. Okay, so as always, I always recommend people to start focusing on your body to make sure, first of all, that you are comfortable, that you have no pains and aches, that there are no kind of obvious problems with the way you sit or whatever. And then continue the focus on the body to make sure you have no tensions or tightness anywhere. And by moving in this direction, by feeling the body, making sure you get rid of all the tensions and all the tightness, you're actually working on the mind. It's the mind that you are relaxing in this way, because it is the mind that controls the body. So just sweep the body for a while, feel the body. And wherever you find there's anything which isn't quite at ease, just stay with that and relax it. Take a few deep breaths, send a bit of metta there, and allow yourself to relax. And just stay with the body here. See if you can take the level of relaxation deeper than what you have before. And as you take that level deeper, you find the mind becomes more at ease and more relaxed. And gradually it's as if the meditation takes place all by itself. So keep on focusing the body here, on the body here. And as you do that, send a bit of metta to yourself and allow your body to relax. Thank your body, thank you for all your services, all you have done for me over all these years. Now it is my turn to look after you. May you relax, may you be at ease. And the idea here is just to become so relaxed in the physical body here. It is almost as if the body becomes like a light tuft of cotton, something which doesn't matter anymore, something which fades into the background, something which feels really just so nice and so at ease. And if you can get there, then it is almost as if the meditation and the mindfulness happen all by themselves. And as your body fades completely into the background, it's as if mindfulness takes over all by itself, because the present moment becomes quite pleasant. And just learn to hang out in the present moment, not doing anything at all, just learning this nice and beautiful non-reactive awareness, where anything that happens is okay. There's no judgment, there's no good, there's no bad, there's no right, there's no wrong. Just awareness of what's happening right now. And right here, you can start to get some insight into yourself, some understanding of how your mind works. As you do this kind of practice, don't try to analyze too much or try too hard to see what is there. Just stay with the present moment. And as you stay with the present, any insight, any understanding, any causality that you might see, just allow it to happen by itself. Don't look for it, but allow it just to happen as a consequence of being in the present moment. We are now coming to the very end of the meditation. So now please feel how you feel. Has your mind state improved? Have the good qualities gone up and the bad ones declined? And if so, ask yourself why this has happened. What have you developed? What perceptions have you developed? What things have you let go of? What is the process that has got you to where you are now? Okay. Are there any questions or comments that anybody has? No? Okay. Nothing. Everybody happy here? Yes, internet? Yep, sure. So, okay, so we have one question from overseas, from the Maldives. Maldives, wow, okay. Upol from the Maldives. Okay, so I love walking meditation. Where do we need to focus the mind during walking meditation? I have a small space of about 8 feet. Is that enough? So where do we focus on walking meditation, and how large should the space be? 8 feet is probably a little bit on the small side. Probably good to have a little bit more than that. Because you barely get started before you have to turn around. So if you usually they often recommend that maybe you have something like maybe up to 30 paces perhaps is quite a good length for walking meditation. So about 30 paces, if it can't be that long, you can go shorter. But then it's also recommended probably to walk more slowly if you have a very small space. So what do you focus on during walking meditation? And the answer is that you can focus on virtually anything. There's no kind of right or wrong. It's just like sitting meditation. One very standard thing to focus on if you like to do walking meditation is the sensation of your feet as you walk. So you just feel the whole sequence of sensation in your feet as you do your walking meditation. And this can give rise to good samadhi, to good stillness in the mind if you do that. If you're able to do that properly and you prefer that to watching the breath or just being silent and sitting meditation, great, you can do that. That's a good thing to do. So this is if you want to do more like the stillness side of things. But walking meditation is also good for doing metta, for example. If you want to do a bit of metta practice, it doesn't go as deep perhaps or as deep as it can go during sitting meditation, but it's good to learn to perceive things, to perceive people and the world in such a way that metta can arise. So you can just walk back and forth and you can do a bit of metta meditation. Or if you want to mix up the sitting and the walking, then very often there's no need to do anything at all. You don't have to do anything when doing walking meditation. Just walk back and forth. Just enjoy the peace, right? Often when we do sitting meditation, sometimes it doesn't work. You feel a bit stressed, tense perhaps, or sometimes after sitting for an hour you feel aches and pains in the body and you just need to do something else. And sometimes don't need to do anything. Just walk back and forth. And just enjoy the peace, right? If you're in a nice environment like jhana grove or whatever, just feel the peace around you, feel the nature, and you're actually inclining the mind in the right direction. Anyway, that's all you really have to do. And so with so many things, it depends on what you need. That is the right focus in the walking meditation. Right? What is that you require? Do you require just to, you know, walk back and forth a bit to relax your sore joints, or do you really want to get into your meditation? What is it you want to do? Another thing which walking meditation is good for is to do various types of reflections, right? When you walk, because of the movement of the body, there's also tends to be a natural movement of the mind as well. The mind moves quite easily, more easily in walking meditation. It's not quite as easy to get as still, and you don't get as tired either. So you can do things like death contemplation while you do walking meditation. This can be very powerful and very useful. If you do it in the right way, it can give rise to incredible peace. If it makes you feel uneasy, please don't do it. But if you do it in the right way, it can be very powerful. Or you can do some of the other reflection that the Buddha recommended. All the things beloved and pleasing will become separated from me, right? One of those great reflections. Everything must pass away. All people, all friends, all family must eventually die. My own body will eventually pass away and disappear. Everything that I own will disappear. Another powerful reflection. And these two reflections, two last ones I was mentioning, are very good for giving a sense of a detachment from things, right? If everything must be separated from you, how can you? You can't really attach so strongly anymore. Anything you have to give up, if you're going to have to give up something tomorrow, or you know, if you know that your house is going to burn down tomorrow or something, then of course you don't attach so strongly to it anymore. So these kind of standard Buddhist reflections on life are very useful. You can do that during walking meditation. So lots of possibilities. It really depends on what you require and what you need. So you have to take that responsibility for your own meditation practice to know what is required at any particular time. Okay, anything else anybody would like to add or say or anything? Everybody happy? Yes, sir.
Hello. I'd done meditation about 15, 16 years ago. This is the first time I started doing again. The biggest problem that I got is every time I try to focus present now, my mind goes back and forth in the past. And now, for an example today, I'm trying to focus on the dog barking.
Yeah.
Because it's in the present.
Okay.
But my mind keeps going back and forth in the past. It just does not stop.
Okay.
What can I do just to... I know it's not easy thing to keep the mind still in one place.
Yeah.
I'm trying to focus on like the simplest things, like a dog barking, as a it's a present thing. So, what is the simplest way that you can try to keep it still? I know it's not hard.
Patience is the best way. Patience. You sit there. This is the thing about being passive in the present moment. The reason why you're thinking into the past is that you're not being 100% passive. If you're really completely passive, the mind stops running into the past and the future. It's like the thought starts to arise, but because you are observing, because you're aware, because you're passive, it almost dies down again as soon as it starts to arise. So just be passive. And this is what it is about learning to be mindful. First of all, you find the comfort in the present moment. This is what all the body awareness is about, finding that comfort. When you find the comfort, the present moment tends to become relatively pleasant. When it's relatively pleasant, it's more easy to be mindful. Then with that awareness, that awareness is usually enough for the mind not to be allowed to run too far into the past or too much into the future, too much fantasizing. Just stay with the awareness. It's actually quite hard to do, right? just to be aware is quite difficult to do. Just being there. And that's why you just do it a few times, and after a while you learn more how to do that. But in the end, the final way the real way for actually attaining that present moment awareness, where you don't go into the past, you don't go into the future, is to give rise to joy in the meditation practice. Joy, all of these things are making the present pleasant, relaxing the body, feeling at ease, feeling good, when you get joy in the mind, it's even more powerful, pleasant feeling. And it's much, much easier to stay present once you have that. Because the present is happy. You don't want to go into the past. Past is more suffering. Present is more happy, right? So this is kind of the real goal of all serious meditation practice, is to find joy in the present moment. Then you're really on the right track. And this is going to work sometimes, often it's not going to work. Sometimes you have to go on a meditation retreat to be able to access these kind of things. But when that works, that's really very, very powerful.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's pay respect to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha.